Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Bing bong 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 bong.
Oh yeah.
It's suggestible time.
It certainly is. This is the show where we go, oi, listen up. We've got some things to recommend and you better
get it up, you governor.
Get what?
I don't know. Sorry. I'm so tired. It's 9 o'clock. I'm Claire Twenty. James Clement is here also. We are married.
Mason, we're in sync, right? He says something and then I say something and everyone goes, this is an award-winning show, and that's true. Whereas this, I don't even know. I don't know what's happening.
Why would happen
you
then?
Think we should have more chemistry, Claire, being married?
You would think so. But
you would think that.
But after 17 years, mate, you can't expect chemistry.
17 years? Is that true? Yeah, 2005. No, nearly 18, yeah.
Nearly 18. That's a whole person. That's a whole adult.
That's nearly an adult, yeah.
Imagine that. We weren't even adults when we met. So here's... I met you when I was 19. I've known you nearly half my life.
And I was 44.
Yeah,
and I think that's
normal.
That
would explain why you look so old. How are you feeling? You got up very early today.
Well, I've been, as you know, Claire, I've been switching my gym habits. Leave a like, by the way, on the video, everybody. That'd be great. And so I'm going in the morning because I normally go at like 9:30 in the morning or in the afternoon. By the time you get back and you shower and whatever, it's 11 o'clock and it's 11:30. Then you're like, I better do some work. Yeah. And then you look at your phone and then you look up and it's 3:30 and you got to pick up your kid
and
from
school.
And then
you're working at like until like midnight because, you,
So I've started going at 7 in the morning, which of course means getting up at 6:30 consistently, and I hate it.
Okay.
But it does clear up.
The day. That's why I like getting up early, as I always have for many
years. As I said to you, I want to be able to get up early and go to the gym and then stay up late. And it just seems unfair that I can't do both.
Okay, can I also put a caveat in for the listener by saying when you say you've changed your habit, it's been day two. 2 days.
It's true, it's been 2 days.
It's the second day.
But I'm also...
All I have heard about all day is how early you've been up.
No, it's 3 days. I did 3 days.
Okay, 3 days.
And...
3 days.
I'm also back at the gym because I took a whole month off and I just ate whatever.
Summer of James.
I got my steps in. I got my 10,000 a day, but other than that, I wasn't doing anything.
No, which is so unlike you. It's so funny to me. You are so disciplined, and I know this because everyone we hung out with was like, James is eating chocolate? I've never seen James eat anything other than a carrot stick. What is he putting in his body?
I didn't even know this is a thing people noticed about me, by the way.
Yes, I've told you for many years that you are so regimented with this stuff.
I really don't think I am.
You absolutely are. And every time we hang out with people, like, you don't really drink that much and you look after yourself and it's really good.
That's not like...
Even Charlie Clausen, the one and only Charlie Clausen from Chopop.
He's way fitter than me.
Yeah, but when he came over, he was like... And so it was Broden from Arnie Donald. They were both like, oh, James, you're looking after yourself.
Well, you know, and those are compliments that I will take to my grave.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Correct. So I did a really lovely episode of Fofop with Charlie Clausen, actually. Which I just, I mean, I always love talking to Charlie. He's such a wonderful friend. But it was just, it was so much fun. I got to talk about music and artistry and David Bowie and the homunculus. There's a word for the spider that lives in my brain. It's called the homunculus. And he totally understood what I meant when I said that, which is so lovely.
Because he's always got to be doing stuff.
Yeah. I feel it was just a really lovely chat. So, I mean... If you're interested in me waffling on for ages about the creature that lives in my brain and how creativity works for me, go listen.
Claire, look, I am interested in that, but I'm more interested in your new single, which came out on Friday.
Yes, it did.
It's already out.
It's already out. It's called Free. Our daughter is at the start and at the end. It's about kind of, I don't know, what is it about? Letting go of the expectations of others and rediscovering who you are and your fire. And it's the most pop song of all, like the most upbeat of all the songs on the record.
Yeah, well, it's basically just a cover of Hit Me Baby One More Time. So that's why you probably feel that way.
It's very much a pop song. And it's interesting because the tone of the album is it sort of stands alone, that song on the album. Because I felt like the rest of it, it's so emotive that I wanted to do one that was sort of more upbeat, I guess, yeah, and fun, even though the themes of it are still pretty full on. I do talk about body image.
I like it. It's good. And if you've got kids, kids might like it as well. Kids seem to like it.
Yeah, kids really like it. That's why I'm making a little video clip of just like friends and their kids and whoever wants to dance.
And people sending them in.
And people are sending me little videos in portrait mode on their phone. So if you want to do that and you're a listener, I would love you to. All you have to do is film yourself 30 seconds in portrait mode on your phone, dancing along to my single Free. You can find it on Spotify or YouTube.
Well, that's all well and good, Claire. That all sounds well and good. But don't you have a live show coming up?
Oh my goodness, I do. Shameless plugging all around.
Disgusting.
I do. So it's on the
Mason 11th. Would never plug anything. That's what I like about him. That's why we have an award-winning podcast.
He just drives a tram up and back.
That's right.
What's he gonna plug? The tram? Actually, no, he's always on a podcast.
Who knows what he's
up
to?
He's doing a thing.
But
he's
like it.
Super supportive.
He never tells me any of his feelings or emotions, which is why we're best friends.
So weird to me. You guys don't know anything about each other's lives.
That is not true.
Actually, he knows everything about our life because he's just always here. And like, remember he popped around the other night and it was 10 o'clock and I was half asleep and I was actually asleep because I fell asleep reading a book to our son. And then I kind of stumbled downstairs and was really disorientated. And we had this whole conversation that I don't really remember, but it didn't make any sense. And Mason was like completely fine and I was asleep.
Yep.
Walking. Anyway, that's not interesting to anyone else. Colleagues,
no,
take that out. Mace is coming as well to the show.
Yeah, he will be. Yeah, I'll
yeah
be there
it's
as well,
on
yeah.
the 11th of February at the Brunswick Ballroom at 1 o'clock. Dr. Louise Peeler, who is an incredible Wurundjeri elder, is coming to do the Welcome to Country, which is such an honor. And I'm so excited she's coming. So she will be doing Welcome to Country. My cousin Woody Sampson is going to be playing, and they are incredible. They play the trumpet among so many other things, and you will just absolutely adore Woody. He's just a joy.
He's a delight.
Bomb in a person. And then I'm playing my album. It's 11 songs, originals.
She's just
I'm
playing
so
it
excited.
On a CD player. She's going to sit on stage and she's got a little portable CD player she's going to play.
Yeah,
we all have to listen.
It sounds like that's exactly right. That would be much easier. I don't know. Anyway, I'm playing it with Ezekiel Fenn, who is a music producer who produced the album with me. My vinyls are ready. They're going to be ready in time for the launch, which is super
that
exciting.
That is cool, yeah.
It is so wild when they sent the test press of the vinyl. Vinyl is crazy. If anyone is an expert in vinyl records who listens to the show, and I know there will be someone because we had bog experts. We have everyone.
That's true.
The smartest, the best people on this podcast who listen. If someone knows how vinyl works, I know I could Google it, but write in. Tell us.
Yeah.
Because it's so wild to me, all of that effort and all of that time and all that instrumentation and all that vocal stuff. And then it's just suddenly in little grooves on a record. It's just amazing. Also, guess what? I didn't tell you this. It's so exciting. That because now I've approved the test run. Next week, I'm actually going to go into the factory while they're pressing my record and see it being done.
That's cool.
I'm so excited.
What it's do I have to do?
Nothing.
Even better.
I think I'll bring my our daughter.
What day is
my daughter? I don't know. They don't know. They can't tell me. So I just have to like.
Wow, just show up
every
day.
No, they're just going to email me on
the
morning.
It's like our boomers say you should get a job. You just turn up to the office and you go there every day with a briefcase and a tie and just shake everybody's hand. And by the end of the week, you'll have a job in the mailroom.
But don't eat too much smashed avo.
But do it.
That's what they
anyway,
say.
Anyway, we got to get started. It's been
we do, but
8
yeah,
to
so
10 minutes.
There's a link in my show notes below if you would like to go to the show. Moshtix, the tickets are available there.
Yep.
But our whole album will be out on the 10th of February. So
wow.
On Spotify. So if you're overseas, you can also get it actually on the 10th of February. I'll have it as a digital download on my website.
Ooh.
So if you would really love to support me, I would love you to buy that. It'll be $15 to get all of the tracks straight up in a WAV file, and then you can also get a download of the digital lyrics booklet as well, which has got all this beautiful artwork from Australian illustrator Annabelle Warne, who did my album artwork.
Can I just say what an absolute bargain, Claire? 11 beautiful songs. For only $15 Australian.
Do you know my first single's been downloaded 10,000 times? I made $9.50. It's so messed up. The music industry is brutal.
Yeah.
You just, as an artist, like you just don't make anything from streaming. It's really.
And why should you? Because there's no value in creativity. That's what I've always been saying.
It's devastating. So if you feel like supporting me and all the work that I've done and you're overseas and you can't obviously come to the launch, Yeah.
But bearing in mind, we don't need the money, obviously.
No, like, you don't need to do that. On Spotify, I would love you to listen. Yeah. I'd also just love you to listen on Spotify. Yeah. That is absolutely enough. And if you also, music is not your thing, you don't listen to it at all, that is also fine. Either way.
Either
up
way.
To you. No all pressure.
All right, Claire, now that you've had it, you've been talking for so long, it's time for me to talk for a little bit.
Correct.
It's about the movie After Sun, which you sort of watched a bit with me and then you went, I don't like this vibe, and you went to bed. Mm. So this is a movie written and directed by Charlotte Wells. It stars Paul Mescal, who's an up-and-coming – oh, he's bigger now, but he was in Normal People. He's going to be in Gladiator 2. He's going to be second Gladiator. And it stars him and Frankie Corio. And I'm not going to give the entire synopsis. I'm going to do a spoiler section of this. I'm going to come round to that. But I'm just going to talk about it in kind of vague terms of what it is about and all these kinds of things and the feelings it evokes, because it's kind of – if I say what it's about, you kind of – you go into it with a different – mindset? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's basically on the surface about a girl and her father. They go on a vacation to Turkey in the early 2000s, right? Now it's told a number of ways. It's shot like a regular film and it's also shot using like archival footage where the characters have like a video camera from that era and they just kind of film each other and their little adventures. So it's almost as if like the stuff that's recorded on the video is kind of what is what really happened. It's like actual like footage of the events, and the normal filmmaking stuff is almost kind of like a memory or a dream or like a perception of events. It's got a kind of bizarre kind of quality to it that I can't really explain. It doesn't really, yeah. You if you see it, you'll know what I mean. I think. So on the surface, yeah, it's so he's a young divorced father. He's in his early 30s. You don't really know why, but him and the mother of this girl, they've broken up, but they seem to be on good terms and they're just kind of hanging by the pool and snorkeling and like eating good food and you know, having a few drinks and all of that. Well, she's not because she's like 11 years old. But there's all these kinds of hints that something like isn't right, like with him specifically. And you also get the sense, because she's quite intelligent, she knows that, but she's also 11, so she doesn't, she can't quite really put her finger anything. On it, you know? And he's also, like, he's quite reserved about what's going on with him. And so as a result of that, things kind of move along and you get the sense there's these little hints that, like, what might be going on in his life. Like, is he sick? Is he, like, mentally okay? Like there's hints towards he doesn't have much money and all of these different kinds of things. But nothing like, because he's all of the most of the interactions with him is through his daughter. Like he's not giving her the full picture because, you know, she's a child, right? So it's like, it's this really beautiful kind of exploration of their relationship. But at the same time, it's like weirdly ominous. And I don't really know why, but you get the sense as you're watching it that like something bad is going to happen or something bad has already happened.
Yeah, that's why I had to go to bed, because I kind of felt, and I don't actually think this happens, that something bad was going to happen to her.
Yeah, so it is that kind of sense, like they kind of linger on things and you're like, you don't know why, because you're waiting for someone to drown or like get kidnapped.
I thought
or
she was going to get assaulted.
Or murdered
or
assaulted or something like that.
Yeah.
And it kind of, not that it never arrives, but it's, I don't even know how they do it, because it's just kind of this kind of building of tension, but there's nothing specifically that you could be like, that's why this feels kind of weird, you know? I mean, there's more kind of direct moments, but they don't necessarily tie into like why it all feels weird. Weird and like a little bit sinister, you know, but there's also like there's a lot of levity in it, you know, and they have fun little interactions and, you know, and she meets like other teenagers and a boy that she likes and all this other kind of stuff goes on. And then like at the end, it kind of all clicks into place about what this was all like about, and it just kind of pulls the curtain back, and not even fully about what happens. Or what has happened, I should say. So I'm going to say spoilers now. Okay?
Yeah, can you tell me? Because I left the room because the tension was too much for me.
Yeah.
And my brain at the moment, I'm really trying to like look after my sort of energy and my headspace. And so anything with that kind of ominous feeling, I just go, no, I can't cope with it at the moment. So
yeah. And okay, so I should also point out that this is part of the spoiler as well. Like, this is a trigger warning for like suicide. There's nothing explicit in this. Like, you don't see any of that. But what is implied and is true, what this movie is about, is when they part ways towards the end of the movie, he kills himself, the father. And that's what, and what you've realized is going on, and this is interspersed throughout the movie, she's now the age that he was when he died. And so it's her as an adult with a baby, and she's got a partner, looking back at this video and thinking about the events and trying to piece it all together and trying to get an understanding of who he was based on like the fragments that she has
and
like of him. Yeah. Yeah. And that's basically it. Like it's, and there's things that, yeah, and it makes you kind of look back and go, oh shit, like that was the, you know, like it's so well constructed that it's a better movie, like the more you think about it.
Yeah.
And I haven't revisited it. I probably won't because it's like super fucking depressing, but it makes me want to go back and like watch it through and just for the, like they're both amazing. Like it's just, they're so good. Like both of them like to get, and he's like 26. He's not even that old.
No. Right? What? Why does he commit suicide? Do they tell you?
Not really. No.
There wasn't anything terrible that happened.
But there's hints like, you know that like he's got a drinking problem and you kind of see that, or maybe he's just having fun on holiday and he's just kicking back, you know. But there's also like, there's moments where she's like, I'm 11. What did you want to be when you're 11? And he kind of like pauses and he's like, can you turn the camera off? And so he turned the camera off and then it cuts to like, and then it shows just like her memory of the events. And he doesn't want to kind of talk about it because the implication is that he's not who he thought he would be. Like he's not happy. He's not, he doesn't like, there's a moment where she drops her goggles in the ocean and you see it like really like, it really kind of throws him and he's not mad at her, but he's just like, that, like, I don't have any money. Like, that cost, that hurt me. And she also realizes that. She's like, I'm sorry that, you know, that I did this. And he's like, I'm not mad at you. I'm just, but you don't know kind of, so again, got, until
so
the end.
So there's sort of
yeah.
money problems.
Yeah, that's like a fraction of it. Like, and you, like, he's depressed, it seems. Like, he's suffering from depression and he doesn't have, like, people around him potentially or any kind of, it just things have maybe haven't worked out for him, but you don't even know why specifically, which I think also adds to it because it's from her perspective, like as an adult
as a
child. So you only kind of know what she knows, and she doesn't even really know. You know,
yeah. That's fascinating.
Yeah,
because also I feel like for people who have lost someone to suicide, and if anyone's listening to this who has, my heart's just so broken for you because I know a friend of mine had that happen.
Yeah.
And you never really know.
No.
You never fully, well, for them anyway, and I think this is a common thing, you never fully understand why they did it.
Yeah.
Or you, and then you, and you're forever kind of trying to understand why you would leave that in that way. And then, but then also Glennon Doyle writes about it really beautifully. She says that in her circles with addiction and in groups of, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous and all of those sorts of things, that they actually feel like when that happens and someone does that, they understand. It's like it's
right, yeah.
Life is just, it was too painful
yeah.
to be here. And the end, but oh God, it's so complex, yeah. isn't it?
I mean,
and that kind of tension and the questioning, you get that through the whole film.
Yeah.
I was feeling that.
It's weird because
yeah, I was
you know
confusion.
You know something's wrong, but you, like and like her, you just can't sort of figure it out. Like it's
yeah, you just don't know what's happening. But he's also like a beautiful dad.
Yeah, well that's
wow.
the other thing. Like it's never from the perspective of like he regrets her and he's trying very clearly to trying to give her this amazing holiday and maybe he went into the holiday knowing that it was the last holiday. But I don't even think that's true necessarily. But that's also an interpretation of like that's how I see it.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've obviously spoiled it if you've come this far. If you're coming back after the time code, so no more spoilers. It's got amazing performances. it's pretty depressing. but it's I mean, I can see why it's, you know, being talked about, you know, and you know, various awards and has won awards already. And just the writing by, I mean, the performances again, but being written and directed by Charlotte Wells, it's, yeah, incredible. I can't wait till Marvel snatch her up and make her do
something terrible.
Black Widow sequel.
It is so exactly what I love about art, that it's a sort of ambiguous in some ways, but it draws out emotion.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, and this is a broad stroke to say, but I do think women in particular, like female directors, when it's done well, or writers, often play deeper into that emotional landscape in an interesting way. And I'm not saying that's all women or men can't do men absolutely can. But there is something in the depth of the complexity of emotion that I find really interesting, that I feel like sometimes is more of a feminine energy in it, if I'm trying to articulate myself. So, for example, and I know I'm in a music headspace, but I like the video that I made.
Yeah.
I was trying to communicate to Tom, who was the producer, and like we co-directed it, that most of it I wanted to be emotion based.
Right.
And I actually don't even know if I put it into words well enough to explain it, because I couldn't storyboard it in the way that he wanted, because I was like, I'm going to have to be in the moment and you're just going to have to film me.
Spinning.
And he was like, and I could tell he was like, okay, what do you mean? But it's because, if you've watched it, I wanted emotion to come through that I had created in the sound.
Yes.
And it's sort of ambiguous in that way as well, because but there is this like, because the levels of emotion that you can create, like they're just, you know, endless. I mean, Brené Brown has recently put out a book called The Atlas of the Heart.
Right.
Where she documents like just all of the emotions a human can experience. And it's so huge and so thick and so many. And when you really drill into it, you realize we kind of think happy, sad, angry, scared, worried. You know, you sort of think of them as a baseline of things. Yeah. But actually human emotion is so complex, and it drives so many of our thought patterns and decisions. And so to represent that kind of feeling in a film is so clever.
Yeah.
To do that and twist it at the end and not have huge kind of events happening.
No, it's
that's what I find interesting.
Because again, like,
yeah. I guess what I'm trying to say is, I think with film, I find that so interesting that you can have not a lot happen, but it's the depth of emotion that is created for the audience, which makes it interesting, even when not like huge events happen all the way through. It's a little bit like that book, Sorrow and Bliss, that I loved from last year. It was my favorite book of the year by Meg Mason. The character, there's not a lot that happens in that. There's a breakdown of a marriage, but that's kind of it, and then the complex family. But there's not a lot of like big, sweeping, kind of like gripping crime thrillery events through it.
Mm.
But it's the depth of an examination of the human condition and emotion that is just so rich and so gripping.
Mm.
So, and that's, to me, that's what I love in art. But I also couldn't finish watching that film.
No, I understand.
Because of that, because the depth of emotion was coming through was so much for me that I couldn't bear it.
Well, what I like about film.
Is that the worst thing anyone's ever said?
Yeah, it's the worst.
I couldn't bear to sit and watch this art house film.
Couldn't possibly. I know you love that, so you love all that. You love emotion in film. I love in film, I can give you an example, in the latest Batman movie where Robert Pattinson is chased to the roof of the police precinct, and he's in his Batman costume and needs to escape because he's just punched Commissioner Gordon. And he gets to the roof and he quickly zips his wings around him, and you realize that the cape that he's got is actually a wingsuit. And
wowza.
He jumps off the roof of Gotham PD, and as he flies down, he clips like the underside of a bridge and then slams into a car. And I saw that and I'm like, ooh, that's good cinema, I said to myself. I was like, ooh, that looks really hurt.
Can you articulate your emotion?
Yeah, I liked it when he hit the bridge and then he hit the car, Claire. That's what
would
I
we say that? Joy?
Yeah, no, I was like, damn, joy. That would have hurt. That's gotta hurt, I said.
That's what he said.
When he hit the bridge.
That's what you said. I love it.
Anyway.
All right, can I recommend something else
please.
Now?
Okay. So this it's on streaming and it's still in cinemas and whatever, whatever.
And what's it called again?
After Sun. One
After
word.
Sun.
Yeah.
Excellent. Ooh. It's also, he's so handsome, that dude.
I like him a lot.
Yeah, he doesn't have a necklace from the,
no,
he's
from
in
the show.
Normal People.
Normal People was great.
Is he Connor? Is that
his name
in
Connor
Normal
in
People?
That, yeah.
Yeah, and he's got the necklace. There was a whole Instagram account just dedicated
I
to that
I remember we talked about it and I was
something
like, I didn't even know. He had
incredibly hot about him wearing that necklace. I don't understand it, but so many women do.
We'll never
and,
understand
and people
it.
Who are into men. It just honestly, I sure. don't know what I couldn't even articulate it for you. Do he's not
gonna,
buy a necklace.
He's gonna be big. I mean, he is already like he's getting there, but he's gonna be huge.
He's only 26 too, so he's got his career's like just really started.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm.
Very
I hope
one
he
to
is
watch.
Anyway, he seems very nice.
I think so too.
Unless he's not, in which case I hope he
caveat.
Hope he gets canceled.
James, classic caveat. Yeah. All right.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Can I talk about mine now?
Yeah.
All right. So this is a fun one. I want to talk about Matilda the Musical,
oh,
the
Matilda
new
the musical.
Version, the movie that's out on Netflix currently.
Yeah.
We watched it with our kids. The soundtrack is bloody awesome. I loved the stage show. One of my students actually played Matilda in the stage show here in Melbourne.
Yes, yes, yes.
It was originally written, obviously, by Roald Dahl, the classic book Matilda, which I loved as a kid. And then it was turned into a musical by the amazing Tim Minchin, who is just a genius and we love
him. Unless he's cancelled, in which case we disown it.
But
or
he's an Australian comedian, singer, songwriter, all kinds
actor,
of things, actor.
Whatever
Upright
else.
As well is really amazing. We will talk about that, but we won't talk about that today. That's his TV show. But
we have talked about that.
Yeah, the second season.
Have you watched it?
Not yet.
Okay, yeah.
But
so
it's,
we'll talk about
someone
it
recommended
it
for me. But I
Your
will.
Cousin, Woody.
Yeah, he did. Plus some listeners as well have
okay,
emailed
cool.
me into the show. Anyway, I want to talk about Matilda the Musical. So if you haven't watched it with your kids yet, oh my goodness, our kids are obsessed.
Oh, you can just watch it if you like Roald Dahl.
Yeah, oh, you absolutely could as well. It's not just for kids. It's so genius. And the music is brilliant. Tim Minchin's lyrics are so cool. It's directed by Matthew Walkus. He's a British theatre director, filmmaker, lyricist and playwright, and he worked on Lord of the Rings.
Did he? The new one, I assume.
I'm assuming, yeah. So the cast is really excellent. Emma Thompson plays the villain, the Trunchbull, who is like the school principal if you don't know the story of Matilda. Alicia Weir plays Matilda Wormwood and she is just
great.
Excellent. Lashana Lynch plays Miss Honey and she's just stunning.
Love Lashana Lynch. She's great in the new Bond movie. She's good in Captain Marvel and also the latest Doctor Strange
and
movie.
She can
also.
Sing beautifully.
And she, can sing, yeah.
she sings
She's great.
This Is My House. Oh, God. So many songs in this. Like Tim Minchin is a genius with theatre and his songs just have this way of really capturing this intense kind of emotion. It's just beautiful. Her song, my favourite song of the album, oh, there's a few. Quiet is my favourite one because it's all about her Matilda's kind of internal world and how she ends up creating her powers, which I also feels very close to home for me for how I often feel inside my head. I love that
song.
By the
way, he worked on the stage musical of Lord of the Rings. He's a stage director.
Oh,
I was just looking at his filmography and, yeah, it's mostly like
Because I just read Lord of the Rings, but I didn't realize they had a Lord of the Rings stage show. That's
yeah,
really interesting.
It's never been here as far as I'm aware.
So there's some other characters that I love. Sindhu V, the comedian, plays the librarian, Mrs. Phelps, and that is genius casting. She's wonderful. I love her on Instagram. She's obsessed with mangoes and I love it. She's excellent, Sindhu V. So great. Stephen Graham plays Mr. Wormwood, Matilda's dad.
Great.
Very great, hilarious. Andrea Riseborough plays Mrs. Wormwood, her mum.
Ooh, a bit of controversy about her at the moment, Claire.
Oh, why? What's the controversy?
Apparently she was whining and dining some Oscar folks because she's nominated for an Oscar. And people
for that
like,
role?
No, this is for another thing. Oh. And people are like, oh, is that legal to do that? Is that within
Isn't
the Oscar
that
norms?
It all works?
Who gives a shit? That's what they all do.
I thought that's what they all do,
yeah. Anyway, she's great. She's great in everything. She's really awesome also.
All right, excellent, cool. Charlie Hodgson is this super cute kid. He plays Bruce Bogtrotter. He's one of my favorite characters. Is the kid that classic eats the giant chocolate
cake.
If you don't know the story, that won't make sense. But he is just really excellent in it. And there's lots of other amazing cast. So
a lot of really well cast kids in this. Very talented.
Really, really well cast. Oh, my goodness. The
singing and dancing.
Yeah, the singing in the school is really excellent. Revolting Children has become an anthem in our house. They love it. When I Grow Up is so poignant. It's about what it's just a genius song because it's so nostalgic for adults but also beautiful for kids. And it's just about what you'll do when you grow up. When you're a kid, you imagine you'll eat lollies at all times of the day. And
wait,
all
When
stuff.
I Grow Up or Revolting Children?
No, When I Grow Up.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, so. But I think When I Grow Up is so beautiful because it captures something about childhood but also is so poignant about being a grown-up.
Yeah.
And how hard the world actually is.
Yeah. Well, I think it's hard either way, you know, like being a kid is like weird and bad a lot of the time.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But there's that complexity about you feel like you'll just – everything will work out once you're a grown-up.
Yeah, and then you'll have all the answers.
And actually you have less answers.
Yeah. There's great lines like, when I grow up, I'll be strong enough to carry all the things I have to carry around when I'm an adult.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Exactly. And I'll be – oh, it's just so beautiful. Yeah. Yes,
I love that naughty song because what I
I'm sometimes like, you've got to be a little bit naughty.
It's basically just being like, hey, when you're a kid, sometimes it's okay to just like you see maybe something in injustice or you see a scenario where you can have a bit of like harmless shenanigans and it's like just do it. And I fucking love that. Like I – even as a kid, I love that. Just a moment to be like, I'm going to do something and see if this happens and I get away with it.
Yeah.
Not like massively destructive. Just be like, let's just see how this plays out.
But also I love the message that when you're an adult, you don't always have to play completely by the rules as well. Like think for yourself. And sometimes you do. You have to think outside the box and not just do what everyone tells you to do.
Yeah.
I love that message for kids. I also love the message of being small but actually small actions can have a huge impact.
Yeah.
You know, the
Tiniest mite packs the mightiest sting.
Yeah, exactly.
We've been listening to it a lot.
Yeah, and what is it, the creak of a floorboard?
The creak of a floor, something about the start of a war.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
It's just, I love all of that
it's
language.
It's about like tiny things that lead to bigger
the flap
outcomes.
Of a wing, all of that stuff, those tiny little things. And that idea that as a kid you can have a bigger impact.
Mm.
And even just as a person, as a grown-up, when you – like Miss Honey's character really struggles with she was really emotionally abused by the Trunchbull and kind of is being emotionally controlled by her. And then her character growing into herself and realizing that actually even though she's only one person, she can have a big impact.
Mm.
And I think that's so beautiful for kids but also for grown-ups. There's just so many multi-layers that you can enter in. Even the first song that our kids love, or our daughter in particular, about a miracle, and it's all about how parents all think their babies are miracles.
Yeah, which is true.
Yeah, they are miracles. Exactly, but also I just find that, you know, funny.
There is that like, is my kid a genius? Oh, wow, look, that kid made eyes smile already. Is that,
and all
does
the
that
parents
mean it's emotionally
just like,
intelligent or whatever?
Correct.
And it's all like, no, it's probably gas.
Yeah. And just each parent becomes obsessed with their own little tiny baby. And it's so true in taking a million photos and it's just, parenthood and all of that stuff. It's beautiful. So I totally recommend watching it, Matilda, the musical. And not just for kids, for everyone.
I completely agree. I think it's missing some stuff.
From the book.
From both the book, but more so the stage play. I feel like there's like an exploration of like her intelligence and her powers, which is kind of like brushed over.
It is brushed
and
over,
or,
you're right.
Or like, because it's not that you'd be lost. You wouldn't be like, I don't understand this. But a lot of the book, and I think more of the stage show from memory, is like dedicated to that. And the book in particular gets into like the feeling that she gets and how she does it and all of these different things and like the concentration it takes and all of this.
Yeah, and even just the genius of her. Like the movie doesn't really go into her being
really highly gifted. No, it's just
really
like, oh, she's smart, and there's a bit where she solves some maths problems and she reads a lot of books. But that's pretty much it. I mean, you obviously, like, you get it. Like,
yeah.
And I also think, like, this, like, it kind of wraps up. It feels like there's some scenes missing where, like, the Trunchbull gets her comeuppance and all of that. There's, like, it kind of happens in a weirdly edited way where, like, I think there's some stuff.
It happens a bit fast.
Yeah, stuff going on there. But
And there's no brother in it as well.
Well, there's no brother in the show.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's like, yeah, because you're currently reading the book with our son.
I am. It's so much more complicated. Yeah. And yeah. Book's amazing. Great way. The Such book is amazing. Book. It's interesting, though, because I think kids are watching things that are so fast-paced now that access to books that we read as kids, it feels slow.
Yeah, does he like it though?
He is liking it, but he's a bit confused and it's a bit slow.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting to me.
It does get into like the family dynamics more. You find more about the brother. You find about how she started reading at a young age and you find all these things out about her. There's like it's the slow reveal in the classroom of what she knows. And
yeah.
And like you see like Miss Honey kind of like finding what level she's at and she keeps like
and it takes a while, whereas it all happens very fast in the film. And I guess it's also a different format and all of those things. Yeah, but still it's great.
Love it.
Love it. Really good. The soundtrack's on Spotify. It's really excellent. Lots of fun. All right, that's the show, I think, today.
Whoa.
Oh, whoa. Sorry, I've forgotten.
It can't be the show until you read a letter.
I've forgotten something.
And I tell everybody that you can actually review the show and you can do it in an app. Whatever app. Whatever program you're listening on, unless it's BigSandwich.co, which is our own private Patreon, if you pay $9 a month, there's a bunch of stuff behind a paywall, Claire.
I see. Yes, you are correct.
I'm just reading reviews, and more reviews would be great. I'm nearly out of reviews to read. So this one is from Richard Johnson, TX, who says, it's been 8 weeks. This is 5 stars, by the way. And she still hasn't read Project Hail Mary.
Zero out of five stars,
JK. But you did give a hard date, didn't you, on when that was supposed to.
Did I? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think you said like 5 years. So you've got time. Yeah.
All righty. Okay, I can do it. Maybe not in the next 12 days before my live show.
Oh, I'm doing a live show. I'm an artist. That's
you. I'm going on the radio.
Oh, yeah, you're
going
on
the radio. I mean, I know
like
this is an audio medium, but I've never been, like, I'm going on, I've been once.
I've been
at
on
like
the 10 radio.
10 o'clock at night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have too. You have been on the radio.
Have
Your
I?
Snooze went off during it.
Oh, yeah,
you
I did.
You woke up when Will Anderson asked you to come on, and it was when what's his
like, – Stan Lee
died.
Away, yeah.
And I woke you up and you jumped on, but then your phone
alarm went off live radio. That was good. No, I was going to say, well, that happened, but also when I was a kid, I rang up John Fain in the Conversation Hour on ABC Radio to defend video games. It was like video games are too violent. I was like, video games are not too violent. I was like,
did you argue with John?
Yeah, I was like, nine.
Did you really?
I wouldn't like any other problem. I'm like, I'm not interested. So I'm like,
wow.
Have you ever played? I said to him, have you ever played the game Mario? And he's like, no. And I'm like, fuck. Okay. Basically, he jumps on like creatures, and he's like, well, that sounds very violent. And I'm like, I don't know. Then I don't know. Anyway, I was right, Claire. I was right, and John Fain was wrong. I was a child. I just didn't have the mental capacity to best him. But if there was a rematch, Claire.
If you were Matilda, you would have had the
If it was today, I could beat John Fain
Isn't
in that particular
age. Like 85 argument. Now?
It doesn't matter, Claire. I could have beaten him 20 years ago. I could have beat him as a 14-year-old boy.
God damn it. I believe you, James. You're yelling at me like I don't think that. I have full faith in you. But you were bested by John.
It was
Fain.
Very ignorant of him because they were talking about at the time there was, remember the Tokyo subway gassing?
Yes.
Somebody made a video game about that. Some fucking psycho, right? And then all of a sudden that's reflective of all the medium. It's like, well, are video games too violent or whatever? It's like, no, that's just a very fucking weird person doing a terrible thing. Like if someone writes a bad book, like Hitler wrote a book, no one's like, well, books? What's going on with all these books? This is a book by a Nazi, you know?
I know. Do
God
I
damn
ever?
It, Claire. Look at all my arguments. Look at them. Anyway, do you have a letter?
I do have a letter. Is your rant done?
Fucking
are you
John
okay?
Fain.
Man, you should wake up
he's
early.
He's better than me.
Not on regular. Yeah, well, he probably does. Anyway, okay, let's move on. You can email the show, suggestapod@gmail.com. We would love you to. Recommendations, comments, questions, all the things. We would love to hear from you. If you know anything about vinyl and how it's made, love
Why,
that
Why, though? Why do you need to know that?
Because I'm so curious because I'm
but
having
you're literally
my
going.
I know, but I would love to know about it before I go so I'm not taken aback. When they ask me questions, I can be like, oh, yes, that's the hinky donk that makes the groovies
it goes bloop, bloop,
on
bloop.
The round thing. Oh, anyway.
He's retired, Claire. He's 66 years old, though. He's not that
66
old.
66 is not that old. So he would have been quite young.
He would have been like my age.
Yeah, correct. Wow.
That's embarrassing. For him.
Or is it? Who knows? You probably should have bested him in that.
Games.
Anyway, hi, James and Claire. This is from Jack Williams.
Hello.
This is a great album that I definitely think Claire would be interested in. The album is called Mark Tremonti sings Frank Sinatra. This is a cover album recorded by Mark Tremonti, who is a phenomenal guitarist for the band Alter Bridge. In addition to that, yeah.
Alter Bridge?
Yeah.
The Creed band, where all the former members of Creed went and made this band called Alter Bridge.
Yes.
Except for the lead guy from Creed.
In addition to the album, he has launched his Take a Chance for Charity initiative to raise money for National Down Syndrome Society.
Oh, nice.
His goal is to challenge people with a platform to take a chance for charity and do something not expected of them. This album is also recorded with the living musicians of Frank Sinatra's band. Tremonti was inspired to launch the program after he found out about his daughter Stella's Down syndrome diagnosis. Tremonti has always been a Sinatra fan and has raised more than $1 billion for charity during his career. So this inspired Tremonti to set up his charity.
Ah.
It's a great album for a great cause. Thanks for your time and all the content throughout the year, especially all the bog content. As being it's from true. Rural Ireland, my friends were shocked that I was listening to a podcast that had a bog discussion. That's what we're here for, all the bog content.
It's
greatly appreciated, all the time and effort you both put into all your platforms. Kind regards, Jack. What a legend. Thank you so much, Jack. Love that. That's really interesting. Great. I know. What a cool thing
to be
doing.
They've done a lot of activism. They're sort of a Christian rock band, or they were? Yeah, because I don't really, like, I only know of them. Like, I don't know them. They started in 2004.
Right.
Scott Strapp leads. Anyway, so John Fane was born in 1956.
Oh, here we go.
And we probably had this discussion in about 1994, which would have made him, what, 38?
You should write to him.
Which means he was about my age.
Wow.
Which now it's time. It's time for the reunion.
Time. This is like that movie you were talking about where you're like reflecting on a thing that happened in the past and now you're reflecting on it in the future.
Can I find so John weird. Fane? Where does
somewhere
he,
in where an does archive. Is somewhere in an archive there is probably that argument. I would pay a lot of money to hear that.
Yeah, I don't know how you'd find it.
My name's James. Hi, I don't like video games. Why don't you like them, John Fane?
And John Fane. I got more followers him on Twitter, though, I'll tell you that much.
Well, that's this whole podcast YouTube venture has just been so that one day you could come on the show and say that you have more followers than John Fane, who is an Australian radio personality, everyone, in case you didn't know.
Oh, look, okay, this is one of his latest posts from January 23. He's gone to Rosebud for the holidays. We were down that way.
Very nice. Oh, you were close by.
Mistake. Oh, I wouldn't recognise him, to be honest. Just a dude with a beard.
If you heard his voice, though, you probably would.
I'd be like, excuse me, sir. He took a photo of a sign that says, new vegan dim sims only $2. And he wrote, when Brunswick goes to Rosebud for the holidays, very good, John Fane. Vegan jokes, you are well ahead.
Oh, no. Everyone, you can't make fun of vegans anymore because everyone knows they're actually right.
Well, it's not only that. It's like, you know how they're like, bloody vegans always going on? You know who goes on more than vegans? Fucking people who don't like vegans.
Yeah.
They don't shut the fuck up about
it. That is so true.
I'm going to eat more animals, if anything.
That is so true.
Good for you.
My cuz Woody Sampson is vegan and I respect it every day of the week.
It's true.
So good for the planet.
Here's him with, the Guido guy who was Guido Hatzis.
Yes. Oh, what? This is not even a show anymore. This is
Tony Moclair. He was on the Crud Show on Triple M.
All right. I don't understand any of this. We need to get going. People are over this.
No,
what are you
not.
Talking about?
It. All right, everybody. Thanks. If you've got any recommendations, send them in. What was the email again?
suggestapod@gmail.com. It has been so lovely to chat to you. Come to my live show on the 11th of February. I would love to see you there. Mosh Ticks.
The room that you booked is too big, so there's still tickets available.
Yeah, I know. I moved it. It's sold out. Then I moved it to a bigger show. I would love you to room. I would love you to come. It'll just be echoing. No, it's not Dire Straits.
No, it's looking good. But yeah, there are still tickets
available. So I would love to see you there. All righty.
Bye. John Fane. He's better than me, Claire.
Maybe he is. Probs.
I doubt it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.